I was sitting here just a few moments ago. The Lord just put something in my heart, and I just felt like I'd do wrong if I sat still. And you know, in these days, as we heard, these are the last days. You know, people go around with so many different motives for receiving the baptism.
Right.
And they treat it almost as Simon did in the times of the New Testament. Simon treated it as something cheap. You know who I'm talking about. I'm not talking about Simon Peter.
No.
This other man, he was delivered from all sorts of evil powers that the enemy had in him. And the enemy used him in a town where he was. And he was used to powerful things. And he used to bewitch the people of his town. And when he found out about the Holy Ghost, of course, first of all, he heard the preaching of Philip and he was converted. But then when he heard the preaching of Peter and about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, why, he associated it as something that he was used to in the past. And he thought, wow, maybe I could buy this thing. And he treated it as something cheap, and it seemed as though God's judgment was really strong on him. And sometimes when you read it, you feel sorry for poor Simon. The poor man had just gotten saved. He didn't have enough time for teaching on the subject. Maybe, you know, it just seems like all of a sudden, this poor man, he sticks his foot in his mouth and he gets it. He really does. And Simon Peter says to him, "Thy money perish with thee, for your heart is not, I perceive that your heart is not right with God." His motive was maybe not right there. And you know, people today have the wrong motives at times when it comes to the things of the Holy Ghost. And I love the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and it should be understood here, in case there's anybody new here and wonders, you know, what do they mean it's not just tongues? You know, if I heard that years ago, I would have thought that they didn't believe in the baptism here because of the things that I had heard. But you know, it's something deeper than just tongues.
Amen.
It's something deeper than just an experience.
Amen.
And people are after experiences today.
Right.
And if you want to treat it as something cheap, I've seen it done enough times, I probably could teach you how to speak in tongues. God forbid, I'd never want to. Because the things of God are more serious than to take them lightly. And if you want something cheap, you'll get something cheap. But if you want the cleansing power of the Holy Ghost in your life, that's what you're going to get. And you know, I feel in my heart that this is why it seems as though it takes a long time. Today we live in an instant society and we don't like things that take a long time. We don't. And I've seen it in churches I've been in the South, and you can find them up north too, I'm sure. And you have people that will go to an altar to seek the baptism. If they don't get it that night, they don't seek anymore. I wonder why it is. Do we count it as something cheap? Do we count it as something that, you know, now I've got it, and then, you know, once you've spoken a few syllables in another language, and then you feel accepted, you know, the Holy Ghost is more precious.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Glory.
You know, it's not just a feeling. The cleansing power of God, it makes you different.
Yes.
And you know, you don't, I feel sorry for people who think it's just, you know, a status symbol, or who feel that it's just an emblem. It's just, you know, the initial experience of the Holy Ghost is just speaking in a few syllables. It's more than just that.
Yes.
And folks, yes, there's tongues in the baptism. We don't deny it. And it's not something you can control. It's something that comes from God Himself. And others, maybe God will make them dance. And that's wonderful. But when it comes down to people trying to teach you how to do things, And teacher, now you take a few steps this way, or you do this, or you hold somebody's hand and you go around in a circle, or folks, it's something wonderful to dear have Lord the baptism.
Amen. Yes.
And he'll lead you and guide you into all truth.
Amen.
All truth. That's one of the ministries of the Holy Ghost. All truth. And when you really want Jesus, you're not going to be led astray. You're not. And you're not going to be led into some kind of fanaticism. You're not going to be led into something that's not real. And something that's shallow. And people are realizing it today. They're wondering, wait, what's wrong with Pentecost? Hey, what's happening? I thought, right. They claim to have a whole lot of things and they live like anybody else. They live and they get upset just like anybody else. They cheat like others. But listen, that's not real Pentecost.
No.
When the Holy Ghost has full control in our life, you're going to be careful how you live. And that's what we've been hearing in these meetings here. That's what we've been learning about. And praise God that we have the truth of God right in this wonderful book. And we can learn. And the problem is with us that we don't get into it enough. We don't get into it. I tell you, when I first came here to live up here at camp, about 5.5 years ago, and we did a study on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, my life was changed. I had found Jesus as my Savior here in Pilgrim Camp, and I had received the baptism in a lean-to as a camper. And then I moved to Florida, and I started to go to other churches, and I heard a lot of different things about the baptism. And it was all just surface. But when I did that study here and got into the Word of God, I found why the baptism of the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. He will guide you. He will quicken you. He will do so many things. I just recently in Dover, in New Jersey, I shared the list that I made with the folks there. It's a big old list. Make a list of the things that God has for us through the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Through the baptism, how Jesus wants to make himself so real.
Amen.
Oh, I thank God. I thank God.
Hallelujah.
And folks, let's not be quitters. You know, sometimes people quit if they don't get an answer to prayer so quickly. Maybe it's they're praying for the baptism. And they feel discouraged. Oh, I didn't get it. I didn't get it. But you know, it's more than an it.
Amen.
It's the person of Jesus
Hallelujah.
Christ.
Amen.
And he changes your life.
Hallelujah.
And that's something, when you want something real, it's worth putting a little bit more effort into it, isn't it?
Yes.
I hear about things, how they used to make things in the good old days. Sometimes that bothers me, the good old days, you know? Because I'm not living in the good old days, I'm living now. And people refer to those days as way back when. And I'm glad that I'm living now, and I have found that now for things to be, you get something in the store today and they're made of cheap materials, and you buy them and they look so nice and they shine, and a few weeks later they're broken. Or like my wife and I, we went and got recently a typewriter. We needed a typewriter. And it looked fantastic. It had all sorts of brand new gadgets. It's just like a computer. But one of the things that it claimed to do didn't work. It just didn't do it. And today they make things so quick and instant. But if we want the real, if we want the real thing, if you can use that expression, then we have to give of ourselves and be willing for God's timing. Be willing for His way.
Yes.
He does things differently than we expect. And often we put God into a mold. If He doesn't work, by this code, 1, 2, and 3, then, we feel bad. But God's ways are above our ways. God's ways are higher, much purer, much richer. Let's not limit God. Let's not limit God. And let's not have our own ideas of how He wants to work in our lives. Another thing I was thinking of, people have different bondages in their lives. And the enemy will use One of his tricks, one of his cleverest tricks that he has is condemnation. And you feel condemned when you fail and you fall and you fall on your face time after time after time. I know what that's like. I know what it's like. And one time the enemy had me fooled. And at one time I fell under that condemnation. And I felt, oh, there's no hope. But you know, folks, there's hope in Jesus.
Hallelujah.
There's hope in Jesus. There's a real living hope. And no matter what you have in your life, no matter where you are in your Christian walk with God, and where you may feel you're bound and you may have failed, and time again, you may not have seen the victory, don't give up.
No.
Answers don't always come instantly. Although sometimes they do, and sometimes God does give us instant answers, and praise God for them. But sometimes we have to hold fast.
Amen.
Hold
Amen.
Fast. Yes. Stand fast.
Yes, Lord.
And when we do that, the victory is deeper. The victory is greater. Amen. And we can rejoice with exceeding great joy.
Hallelujah.
For great is thy faithfulness, oh God.
Hallelujah.
So let's be encouraged.
Yes, Lord.
Let's be encouraged.
Yes,
in this baptism of the Holy Spirit, God has it for every single one of us that is here. And no matter how many years you may think you've been seeking, maybe your motive hasn't been right. Maybe you haven't been, maybe you had your own ideas about it. Why, let just abandon yourself to Jesus Christ. Empty yourself of your own thoughts and say, Jesus, I want you. I want to live in a way that's pleasing to you. And why, God will give you the power. And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. In His way and in His time.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Savior.
Here I had to pick him up at the bus. We made him a cake. We called it a sunshine cake. It had orange and lemon frosting. He was coming from Florida into the cold. His grandparents thought he was going to perish, but anyway, he made it through. I remember one of the things he asked me about. He said, he asked me, what is camp like? What does Brother Gardner have us do up there? And I said, well, we have to study 2 hours every morning, and we have a Bible class and a number of courses that were taken. He said, school? Classes? I've been delivered from that. Anyway, I remember they weren't exactly classes, folks, but they were teachings in the Holy Ghost that I appreciate very much.
Amen.
Brother Gardner wouldn't have wanted me to use the word school. He never termed it as school. But it was a school of the Holy Ghost. And I remember very well when Bill came, the first subject we were studying was the Holy Spirit. And I remember sitting next to him and watching how he was going to all take this. And I remember the third or fourth lesson, he just began to, well, it began to become alive to him, like he mentioned. And God made him such a great blessing in the home while he was here and brought him out. You know, our brother Bowers mentioned something this morning. Well, he's saying it was real. It is real. I just want to give a short little testimony about how it's real before we close. I remember some time ago here at Pilgrim Camp, a young man received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the prayer room in one of our men's retreats. It was such an interesting baptism in the Holy Ghost. He was, at that time, in a great trial. His dad was in a great trial, and Brother Gardner had asked us all to stand and to pray for this young man's father, that he might be healed. And we stood, the whole congregation stood in the men's retreat, and we began to call upon the name of the Lord for this father. And all of a sudden, the power of the Holy Spirit hit this young man. And he began to worship the Lord in other tongues. And you know what the Lord made him do? It was interesting. He would go down like this and he'd go, it's real, it's real, it's real, it's real. And then he would come up and he'd worship the Lord. And then he'd go down and say, it's real, it's real, it's real, it's real. And then he would laugh in the Spirit. And he was just being drenched in the Holy Ghost. You know, there's no other way for the things of God to be made real to us save by the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit, as we have heard, that makes the Word real. It's the Spirit that makes Jesus real. And you know, as these words have been going forth, the Lord has dropped into my heart that there's the power of the Lord here to baptize with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now, we have to leave now. Lunch is approaching at 12:30. But folks, I'd like to encourage anyone who hasn't received their baptism. The Lord is here to baptize us with the Holy Ghost. Not just tongues, but He's here to so fill us with Jesus that this thing will become real in our lives. And you know, our brother Bill mentioned that we need to seek the Lord. Of course we do. And yet there might be some who have been seeking the Lord and seeking the Lord for a long time. Have faith that the Lord will baptize you in the Holy Ghost. And those of us who have received a little bit of it or a deeper portion of it, you know, there's always more.
Amen.
There's always more.
Yes.
And when we get to the place where we feel we have it all, we're starting to lose it already. I'm thankful that Jesus has more of His Holy Spirit for every one of us today. I'd like us to sing in closing hymn number 114. I'd just like to mention that our dinner is at 12:30. That's approximately 15 minutes from now. Our afternoon service will be at 2:15. And let's sing this song in closing. And I'm going to ask our brother Bob if he'll lead us in prayer. But folks, let's believe. Let's believe this afternoon as we come together. And tonight that the Lord is going to baptize. Now maybe the Lord's going to lead different themes in these meetings, but no matter what we speak about and talk about, no matter what the Lord is dealing with us about, the Holy Spirit is here to work and to baptize us with the Holy Ghost. Number 114, I think I made a mistake. Number 114, let us stand and sing.
Thank you for that life
that has been flowing and is even now,
yes,
still flowing to every open heart.
Yes,
oh Lord, we thank you for the fire of the Holy Ghost that has been burning this morning. We thank you that you are working, oh Lord, that we might experience this fullness that we have heard about. Oh God, we pray that as we leave this place, we shall not leave the openness of heart. Lord, enable us as we gather to take our meal, that we'll be careful to stay in thy presence, Lord. We pray, dear Jesus, that our heart shall remain open throughout the entire day to receive from thy fullness. And Lord, we pray that our heart shall so reach out in faith that the fullness might come and that it might overflow this day. Oh, Jesus, do all that's in your heart for every one of us this day. Purge us, cleanse us, fill us, mold us, make us, use us however you may please. Oh, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful morning in thy presence and for thy working. We expect you to continue this, and we thank you for what you've done. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you.